The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. Three contests that we're going to look at Musselburgh. We're also just going to have a brief look ahead to a certain race at Cheltenham, dictated by Tom Segal in the Racing Post today. His price-wise selection for the race is up, so we'll have a little chat about that before moving on to Musselburgh, which just leaves me to say... Good morning, Mick Norton.
Yes, hello, Alex, and good day to our listeners.
Yeah, how's things, Mick?
Yeah,
all good. All good? Keeping well?
Okay, yeah, not too bad.
Could do without this rain, couldn't we?
I know, it's a nuisance. It didn't turn into snow in places, I believe.
It is. This recorded at around midday on Tuesday, just looking at some of the greyhound racing currently going on. I believe Nottingham's experiencing a bit of a flurry at the minute, so yeah, hopefully this weather can... clear up pretty soon, because if nothing else, it's affecting racing, isn't it now? It's got to the stage where we are losing a couple more meetings than perhaps we'd like to. So, yeah, hopefully we can get that sorted sooner rather than later. I said that we'd talk about the Supreme Novices hurdle, Mick. Tom Segal today in the Racing Post, obviously, price-wise, has put up First Mohican, Alan King's horse who won at Doncaster on Thursday. Did that nicely enough, and the horse has been backed accordingly, as you would expect. Yeah. Now into 12-1 was
a bit of an overreaction, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
I know it was high class flat horse 108, but he didn't do any more than he had to do to win at Doncaster. He hasn't even run in listed company yet, so never mind grade one. So let's wait and see what he does next time. I think that's just a slight overreaction.
Yeah, 16s into 12s, the money for that one with William Hill. So, yeah, I mean, you look at what he's going to be coming up against.
Yeah.
I'll run you through the betting. We've got Votor at 4-1, Irving at 8s, the Tullow Tank and Wicklow Brave at 10-1, First Mohican and Josses Hill at 12s, 14s for West Wizard and Western Boy, 16s Briar Hill, the Liquidator, 20s or bigger the rest. So it really is a contest where, firstly, the Irish have got a very, very strong hand. A few dark horses in there, perhaps. But
yeah.
if I put a gun to your head now, Mick, and said, what do you fancy for this, where would you go?
I think whatever Ruby Rides would do for me.
Okay.
And whether it would be Virtua... or Wicklow Brave. I think Wicklow Brave are probably at this stage in their careers, respective careers, the more sort of streetwise for the race, if you like.
Mm.
I mean, they're all making a lot of the performance of Votor beating the Tullow Tank at Leopardstown on Sunday. But what on earth that Danny Mullins is thinking about on the Tullow Tank, just letting Ruby out there just do his own thing. I just do not know what's going on in that young man's mind. He did exactly the same on Arcona against Hurricane Fly. Why doesn't he at some point in the race go and try and make life difficult? I bet Ruby can't believe that they just let him do his own thing just like that. You know, if you're going to get beat, don't die wondering. Get beat and having a scrap.
Yeah, I'd agree with
just
that.
Just leaving him alone in his comfort zone like that is absolutely bonkers. And... you know, I think it made Vautour look better than he did, the brilliance of Walsh. No, I think I'd be quite happy if Ruby did switch to Wicklow Brave, who does look, to me, the likely type for it.
OK, Wicklow Brave, possibly a value pick there at 10-1.
Yeah, but and I
believe you've got one here at a rather big price.
I've always been a big fan of Sergeant Reckless, and he showed his well-being winning a jumper's bumper at Kempton in the week, and I think he could outrun his price. I mean, the price he is compared to... First Mohican is just bizarre.
Okay. 33-1 about Sergeant Reckless. Popular as well on TipAdvisor on the William Hill website. So certainly might be worth just a glance at a very, very big price there for the Supreme Novices. Okay, as I said, we'll look at three races at Musselburgh. We're going to kick off with the 240. Handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 10 runners down to go to post. And some pretty informed types arrive here, Mick. Which one do you fancy?
Yes, I'll go through them in race card order, really. I mean, Civil Unrest is going to take a big chunk out of the market. But, you know, he's a career best required now. He's £15 higher than his win here last time. He's up in grade as well. And I just think he's going to be a little bit vulnerable now. He's climbed that quickly. I mean, they're taking off the 7 with Dale Irving, but even so, I think he has got a stiff task on his hand. Radio Nowhere took a step forward on his chasing debut last time. That was his best run since his novices hurdle day, 2nd and 9, beaten ahead by Sharni Syke at Newcastle. He was caught on the line as well, looked the winner all the way at the home straight, just got caught on the line, probably was a bit low, and the winner didn't give him chance to fight back, so he's going to make his presence felt. But the selection is going to be Briary Hill Boy from the Willie Amos Yard with Brian Harding on board. I had a look at his last two efforts at Sedgefield. Both of them he came there to win his race, and both of them he got beaten through doing nothing wrong, got caught on the line by a McCain horse last time, ran a good solid third the time before that. I like his handicap mark of 97. Brian Harding knows him well. Willie Amos's team are in good form, and I'm going to take a chance on Briary Hill Boy.
Okay then, Briary Hill Boy there in the 240. Next up is the 315, a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Class 4 contest with 15 runners down to go to post. A very, very competitive race. You mentioned the form of Willie Amos's team there, and he's likely to have one towards the head of the market here in Willie Hall, who won last time out at Sedgefield.
Yeah.
So do you think
definitely
that's got a chance of following up?
Definitely got a chance. The £7 only takes his mark to 89. You don't have to go back too far, Alex, to see him being placed off 114, 113, and he was also placed fourth off 115. He's no stranger to those sort of marks. All his wins have come right-handed, admittedly, but he has, he's left-handed, I should say, but he has been placed right-handed. This is his first run here, and I don't have any worries on that score. So, yeah, I'm looking to Willie Hall to complete a double for Brian Harding and Willie Amos. A couple of interesting opponents. Blue Cascade seems to be going the right way, and will, I think, sooner or later capitalise on that handicap mark in the low 90s. And the top one's quite interesting, trained in Ireland by Shane Donoghue. Nico de Boinville, very interesting jockey booking, taking off 5, and the pick of his Irish form would give him a chance in a weak race. But the trouble is, these Irish handicappers always have to carry £10 more than their Irish mark when they come over here, which is quite bizarre to me. Why they keep bringing them. But I mentioned this to Niall outside, and Niall said, well, he said, I thought that, but they keep winning. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to take a chance on Willie Hall.
OK, Willie Hall, the pick there in the 315, looking for a quick Willie Amos double there. It is interesting seeing Nico de Boinville here, though. He wouldn't be making the trip this far north.
No, exactly. I did catch the eye that. And they obviously think they need a bit of help with the English mark higher than their Irish mark. But the pick of his Irish one would seem in with a chance, that Saint-Chalot.
Okay. Final race that we'll look at is the 350. A handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Class 3 contest with 11 runners down to go to post.
A cracking race, this. And again, well, I'll just go through them in race card order. There's a very interesting runner here called Sir Pitt, trained by John Grucott. Harry Challenger taken off the 5. Back in 2011, Alex, he was 5th of 23 behind Zarkander in the 2011 Triumph Hurdle.
Doesn't sound like bad form, does it, Mick?
He was given a rating of 135 after that Triumph. For whatever reason, I don't know the reason, but he was off for 706 days after that. But his comeback runs have just been, steadily, looks as though he's steadily running himself into form. and he's very dangerous to rule out on his handicap debut. As I said, he was given a rating of 135 after a triumph run, and yet he can race here off 120. And he is running himself into form.
It could just be that last time he possibly just didn't stay 2.5.
Exactly.
Back to two here.
Back to two. That could just be the ticket. He's very interesting. I was loath to desert him, but I'm going to go for one of the four-year-olds in the race, Town Mouse, who has worn the hood all four hurdle race starts and has run with credit on all four of them. All of them have been this way around right-handed and improve with each run. Has got to go and do it now off 127 on its handicap debut. So that's not going to be easy against his elders, but I just think he's a very progressive horse, and I do think he's going to be very hard to beat. And the other four-year-old I liked is Forced Family Fun of John Quinn's. Brian Hughes rides it, £8 higher than the win at Doncaster, and he is up in grade as well. But he beat his elders at Doncaster in good style. He looks very progressive. He's got plenty of soft ground on the flat and over hurdles, and he won't go down without a fight. It was very tough to call between those three for me, Sir Pitt, Town Mouse and Forced Family Fun. I've just given the vote to Town Mouse because of his superior right-handed form, but it was a close call, Alex.
OK. As you mentioned, Forced Family Fun and Fisher is the other Quinn horse. Both look pretty interesting in this.
Fisher hasn't run for 413 days. Mm. They've put Dean Pratt on to take £7 off. I think there might be other days for him, but he certainly definitely want to keep an eye on in that contest.
And important to note, Sean Quinn will be in the studio on Wednesday taking you through all the action. So if you want to get your emails into studio at williamhill.co.uk, you can grill him on those two runners. I'm sure he'll be as honest as ever. So, but you're going to just side with...
I was reluctant to desert Sir Pitt, but Town Mouse with his superior right-handed form... Alex, and I think it's going to be a tight contest. He might just shade it.
Okay, Town Mouse there. Can you just run us through your three picks at Muscle
Brothers?
Yeah,
in the 240, Briary Hill Boy to initiate a double for Willie Amos and Brian Harding, and following up in the 315 with their second runner, Willie Hall. And in the 350, a fascinating handicap hurdle, Class 3. I'm just shading it to Town Mouse, but it was a very tight call.
Yeah. Okay then, Mick, excellent stuff. Thank you very much for your time and enjoy all of Wednesday's racing.
My pleasure, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.